episode of Just Jerry Live, first time in 2021, plotting perspectives in church life with Todd Bryant
and Jeff Short.
And one more guy today.
Mark Campbell.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm pretty marvelous.
Marvelous Mark. Well, that is great to be able to be marvelous and to be on a podcast with the illustrious Jeff Short. Well, we've done this several times. Mark, you've been on the podcast before. We appreciate you coming on. The last several years, I think this is the third time we've done this, Jeff, but we, at the beginning of the year, sort of just worked back through some of our favorite books from our reading in the previous year. And so here we are in 2021. Everybody thought that the light was just going to switch on and that all of the bad things from 2020 would be gone. That doesn't seem to have happened, but just changing the calendar doesn't change the state of the world, I guess. Nevertheless, here we are in 2021, and we've got a year's worth of reading behind us, and we want to just work through some of the books that we read. How many books did you read last year, Mark? You got any idea?
According to my Goodreads, which I don't have every book on Goodreads for some reason, Goodreads has 28, so I would put it somewhere around 32 to 33. For some reason, there's a few that I don't have on there, but that's better. We'll just go with Goodreads.
I know we had you on, last year or the year before, I forget which one it was, talking about how much your reading had actually increased. How would 30, 32 books compare to Mark, say, 10 years ago?
I'd say that's about 30 more.
Good job. You know, reading's one of those things that once it becomes a part of your life, you feel, you know, just lost without it.
I was thinking a little bit about reading through my books, and there's one area that you don't see in Goodreads. I read quite a few articles. For a particular area of my life that I enjoy, I really enjoy gardening. And so I read a lot of articles, not necessarily books, about gardening. And so, you know, just square foot gardening and the proper type of fertilizer to use and just planting gardens, you know, all kinds of things like that. So there's no place for that on Goodreads. And so I do quite a bit of that also.
Well, I noticed actually as I was breezing through Goodreads a couple of months ago that I think Jeff read a cookbook last year, if I'm not, that may actually be his personal improvement book. I don't know. we can ask Stacy how that works out, but, so they do at least have cookbooks on there, Mark.
Well, I did read a cookbook also, but it wasn't one that was, published. It was from the local 4-H Extension office, one of those, let's compile a recipes from our families and kind of put them in a cookbook to share at Christmas since they couldn't have their Christmas program. So I read I read almost every recipe in that book. And,
you should put it on Goodreads. That might be something Jeff wants to read on.
Maybe.
I had an uncle that said they were so poor that a lot of times they'd sit down for dinner and their mother would just read them a recipe. And he said he had a deaf brother that almost starved to death. So. Okay,
hold on a second here. In my defense, this was a Mexican cookbook, okay?
Okay, so well, that's...
I discovered that the next best thing to eating Mexican food is reading about Mexican food.
I hear you. Well, that is great. Okay, so, we probably need to get on with this. This might take a little minute to get going. Let's just start with something fun. I think this is what we usually start with every year. Mark, I know you read quite a bit of fiction, and Jeff, you as well. But Mark, if you had to pick one of your top fiction books from last year, what would it be?
Oh man. Some of these, there's a thin line between fiction and history. My favorite probably would be, the book Night, it's supposed to be mostly history about, I think his name's Elie Wiesel. I can't pronounce that correctly. But it's his journey through being a captive during the Second World War and his whole entire town being taken to a Nazi concentration camp. So that would probably be my favorite. It's sort of history, a little bit of fiction, a little bit of biography. So all of that in there. In a few of the books that I've read as far as fiction go, I've not necessarily been totally fiction. They've had quite a bit of history involved with them. So,
that book almost made my list. It almost made my list this year. So I read it as well. That is a good book.
Yeah, there was another couple of fiction books. There was the Sisters of Glass Ferry was a book about Kentucky, some people in Kentucky. It was fiction, but I enjoyed that book also.
Jeff, you're going to say The Hobbit again? I know you say that every year.
Well, I don't say that every year because I don't read it every year, but I have read it several times. But I did actually. I haven't finished it. I'm reading a history of The Hobbit, which I'm sure is going to be way up there when I get done with it. But
we know what's on next year's list.
Fiction is a bit of a struggle because I read a couple of the Jeeves books from P.G. Woodhouse, and P.G. Woodhouse just one of my favorite writers overall. So it'd be real easy to stick him in there. But I would say the top was probably The Warden and the Wolf King by Andrew Peterson, and just finishing up the fourth book of the Wing Feather Saga.
Great series overall.
It really was, and I mean from start to finish, it was a great series. It was a great story.
There's not a bad book in that series. That is a great series. I read that whole series in just a few months, just knocked it out. Yeah, great choice. I read, last year was a banner year for me fiction-wise. I read some classics. I read some really good fiction, but probably the top book I read was The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas. It is a really long book, but man, what an outstanding novel. I just don't know that modern authors have the ability to put words on paper like Dumas did.
That's interesting. I haven't read that.
Hey, it's worth the time. All right. So that's easy. That's simple. We all enjoy good fiction so much better than what's on TV most of the time. We need to jump into history now. And last year I read Long Before Luther by Nathan Bushnitz, and it probably is at the top of my list because he just deals with how the Protestant Reformation is not when all correct doctrine began, as is so often, you know, viewed today. He goes back through church history and shows that people have, you know, always believed in salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And it's not a long read, but it's definitely worthy.
Interesting. Well, in terms of history, of course, I could slide that cookbook in here because it was actually about half cookbook and half cultural history of, you know, various indigenous peoples in Mexico. But I read Baptist History by J.M. Cramp, which is a quite lengthy book, and had quite a few surprising things in there.
Run across naked baptism?
Yeah, that was quite surprising.
I've been surprised in reading Baptist history about, you know, you go back enough years and you'll run across some groups that were dogmatically only, you know, that, well, I guess they'd be NBO. Naked baptism only.
Well, and you know, Cramp talks about how that at times there was such controversy over baptism and the Lord's Supper and things like that, that there were churches that weren't even observing them at all. So it's interesting when you start reading history, you realize that one big takeaway is that history is not this one monolithic, you know, seamless picture. There are a lot of different things going on, a lot of different groups, and a lot of different beliefs around different things that can vary kind of widely. So It was interesting.
Absolutely. Mark, read a good history book this year?
Well, again, my history and biographies kind of intersect in that I've got this, I love a good spy mystery type story. And this year I came across a couple of books that has to do with the CIA and people involved in that. And so a couple of books that I read there was an old book about a Russian defector. It was called Escape from the CIA, and it tells about his tells the history, you know, of the Cold War and how the double agents and all of that kind of thing. And so it would be history because the person, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, was the most significant defector from Russia to the United States, and how the United States handled him while he was president of the United States. And then he defected back to Russia. And so that history that was involved there, and it was quite a significant event in the Cold War, because was he a double agent? Did he really defect, or did the United States mishandle him so much that he decided it'd be better to return to Russia and all of that? So there was that book, and there's another book called Left of Boom that talks about the war in Afghanistan, and it tells about a young boy who, when the Gulf War begins to happen, maybe when the Twin Towers are struck, how that he chooses to volunteer for the CIA, and he becomes this CO that infiltrates the Taliban and all of that. And so it's history about that part of the world, and gave me a lot of insight into what was going on in Afghanistan, and even how they went about finding out who made the IEDs and how they stopped those. And so that book was very interesting to me, because it gave me some history, and it gave me some insight into that part of the world. And it was very interesting to me.
One of the reasons we bring some of these up, Mark, is that all reading, I think, does affect pastoral preaching. Do you think some of those books, you know, at least maybe give you an illustration or something to use occasionally, you know, in your pulpit, or at least give you some thankfulness for the blessings that we have in life, or something that would ultimately make it into your preaching?
Oh, I always find an illustration, or maybe some appreciation for the way things are happening in life, and I can always utilize those. It's amazing to me how they find their ways into my sermons sometimes.
Right. All right. Let's jump into theology or biblical studies here. These would generally address some type of theological, you know, maybe a set of doctrines or maybe a theological position that would affect how the church, you know, would stand on some position, even just the preaching of the gospel. For instance, last year I read John MacArthur's book, Hard to Believe, and it is very theological, and it confronts the watered down message that is so, you know, non-confrontational today, where it's just, you know, results in superficial commitments to Jesus. This is similar to his book that he wrote years ago, The Gospel According to Jesus, but it's probably better. And the subtitle of the book is The High Cost and Infinite Value of Following Jesus. And it is just one of the best books I've ever read by MacArthur. I would suggest anybody read it. I also read Mere Calvinism by Jim Orrick last year, and I'm not going to comment on that other than to say that's a good read and probably would be an honorable mention. You guys read any theology last year, or did y'all stick to Jeeves?
Of course, you know, read several that would fall in that category, so it's kind of hard to pick. But what I figured was probably my top was actually The Justification of God by John Piper. This was one of Piper's real early books, And it was the result of his wrestling with Romans chapter 9 and issues like the sovereignty of God and election and so on. And I read it years ago, but being that I have been preaching through Romans for the last little while, I read this book again. And actually, I've read some of the other writings that he refers to in that book now, so I was much better able to evaluate this book, and it is a really good book on Romans chapter 9. Now, it is more technical. It's not a light read. It is more academic than his later writings have been. So, you know, that take that for what it's worth, but it is a really good book, and my reading of it along with studying the book of Romans found it really good.
I think I've got that book, but I haven't read it. I just added it to my soon to read list. Mark, theology.
Theology. Well, for me, I think my favorite book that I read was to go back and read The Holiness of God by R.C. Sproul. It's a book I've read before, and I heard somebody preach about the holiness of God. Some guy from Northport, Alabama. And I decided that I would go back and reread that book just to get a better understanding of the holiness of God and how that applied to our lives. So I really enjoyed that book. Then I also, again, you know, you kind of cross genres a little bit, but well, I guess it's not really theology. So I did read biblical theology. So I really began to apply that to the way that I preach. So I enjoyed that book really well also.
Cool. The Holiness of God by Sproul is one of my all-time favorite books for sure. Such a deep thought, but a pretty concise book, I'd say.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about that. Yeah.
So Mark, while we're on you here, I know your fiction and history have been biographical, so I'm hesitant to even ask you if you read a biography last year, but what do you get? Did you read one?
I did. Of course, that's where I find most of my reading, besides theology, is in the biography area. And when I stumbled across, I went to Ollie's and just looking through the book section and picked up one called Unscripted. It's Ernie Johnson Jr. It's really an autobiography, I guess, but he's talking about what he calls BlackBerry moments in his life. It's those unscripted moments in life and how they affect our lives. And man, that was a book that you couldn't put down. My son read it while we were on vacation, and he's like, "Dad, you got to read this book." And so I read it, and it's just outstanding to talk about Ernie Johnson's life. And Ernie Johnson's someone that most people will know from his appearances on TV.
Right. Biography, Jeff.
Biography reading was a little light for me last year. I did read a couple that would probably fall more in the memoir category than strictly speaking biography. The one biography I did read was about the brilliant mathematician John Nash. He obviously ended up going crazy for a time. I think they made a movie about him some point, but so that I read that. I don't know if that deserves to be the best. I might throw in here, I read Einstein's book on the special and general theory of relativity. And while that's not a biography about his life, it is certainly could be considered the biography of an idea. I guess that would be about most that I read under that category.
And all of the listeners just realized that Jeff's Goodreads doesn't look anything like Todd and Mark's Goodreads right there. The general theory of relativity.
Well, you know, it seems like that's such a mysterious idea or concept, but basically, of course, it was, and I understand Einstein said that it was more from his imagination than it was any sort of, you know, practical experiment. It's basically his thinking about time and space and moving past the limits of plane geometry as described by Euclid. So that's where you get the idea of the fourth dimension, where you have time as a dimension, just like the, you know, X, Y, and Z of a 3D coordinates. You get time as another dimension. So basically my my big takeaway was that when the doctor complains about me being overweight, I can tell her that according to Einstein, that's just due to your observation point and that it's all relative.
That's right. She could easily be looking at, you know, when you were 12, I guess. That would sure give her a whole different rule there. I read W.J. Greer's biography of John Calvin. I read Steve Lawson's biography of John Calvin several years ago. And anybody that isn't into biographies, I would recommend that series that Lawson has done, because those are pretty short and very readable. But I wanted something a little bit more. And Greer brought out a number of things about Calvin that I really didn't realize, that he died poor. He struggled with his health for so many years. And it was a really good read. He dealt with all of the opposition that Calvin had. Now, Calvin's Presbyterian, and so I don't agree with Calvin on everything, but he certainly stood firm on the gospel. And where he was attacked, like, for instance, even they came into his church one time, because a lot of sinful people back then too, believe it or not, that's not just our day and age, but they were demanding that they were going to partake of the Lord's table. And Calvin, you know, put his life on the line, stood in front of the table and told them, you will never partake as long as I'm pastor here, because of the sin in their life. And so it was a really interesting read. It still wasn't terribly long, but he dealt with some things that Steve Lawson did not deal with in his. I thought that was certainly a good book. Normally, I read several books on preaching. In fact, in 2019, I think I read 4 or 5 books on preaching. And this past year, I only read one, and it wasn't lengthy at all. It was Andrew Fuller's book on preaching. And really, he had written some letters apparently to a younger pastor, and this is sort of a compilation of those. But I will say this, he has a chapter on the danger of allegorical preaching, and it is worth the cost of admission. It was absolutely outstanding. It's only about 15 pages or so, you know, that one chapter, but if you want to read something that will change your ministry, if you have a tendency towards allegory, then I would suggest reading Andrew Fuller's, and I think the name of the book is just Preaching by Andrew Fuller. Mark, did you read a book on preaching last year?
I read a couple. The first one I want to mention is, of course, a book I reread. It's H.B. Charles on preaching. And
good book.
Yeah, I'm trying to help some guys learn how to speak in the pulpit, and so some going back and rereading that to try to help them. And then also read, of course, Biblical Preaching by Haddon Robinson. I really enjoyed that book. Again, I also read Expository Exaltation by Piper, and loved that book, exalting God and magnifying the cross of Christ is a key thought, and it really is impactful.
Yeah, Jeff and I both read that book last year. In fact, Jeff, that may have been mine and your both favorite book on preaching last year.
It might have been. I don't remember, but that is an excellent book.
It is, for sure. And I do. Haddon Robinson's book is really good, too.
It is good.
It is a very scientific approach to what I would call the science of preaching. And, I mean, all of those books you read this year, Mark, are great. Did you read a book on preaching, or did you write one?
What was you going to say, Mark?
Didn't I receive that book from the pastor's conference?
Yes, we did.
The one on Bob Robinson?
Yeah, I think we've given out both of the, I think we gave out Robinson the first year we did the seminar, and we gave out Expository Exaltation the second year, I think. Is that right, Jeff? Jeff, you there?
All right, well, we seem to be having some technical difficulties. Yeah, I'm here. We did lose you there for a minute.
You lost me?
So, yes, you lost I couldn't me hear anything for, you were
you lost
saying
me for a second?
Answer to Mark's question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me answer that question. Maybe you can make it happen. We did give out Haddon Robinson's book Year One, and we gave out, I'm pretty sure, Expository Exaltation Year Two. Is that correct, Jeff?
I think so. I think that's right.
All right, Jeff. So did you read a book on preaching last year?
I did. And, this is actually a couple of books that go together. You don't necessarily have to read both of them to get the gist, but they do go together. And that's The Homiletical Plot and The Homiletical Beat, both by Eugene Lowry. Obviously, I would have, you know, a lot of theological differences, with this author, but he is talking about preaching and sermons in what would be considered as narrative preaching. And he, you know, obviously he doesn't mean by that telling stories when you preach, but he's talking about perceiving of the sermon as an event that takes place over time rather than, for instance, like a painting, you know, that you stare at. So he compared it. In fact, he compared it to, you know, a well-written musical piece, you know, that has, you know, beginning and middle and end to it. So in other words, he's talking about using story structure, narrative elements, narrative drive in, making sermons. So it was interesting to think about and to wrestle with some of those ideas.
Right. Right. Well, sometimes it's good to read something that you don't necessarily, you know, fully on board with just to challenge yourself. I know.
Sure.
You and I read, Ammon's book on amillennialism a couple of years ago, and I think we were both challenged, but benefited by it, even though we don't hold that position.
So. Yes, I'd say so.
All right. So that leaves basically the catch-all genre of personal improvement, which, could basically be anything that doesn't fit any of these other categories, you know, but, and just by the way, Mark, that description may broaden your view. You know, you may want to put something else in there. I'll leave you at last, just in case you want to mull back over. Jeff, what did you read in that personal improvement section?
Quite a few things, actually, but I probably at the top, I would put Deep Work by Cal Newport. This is a book that it's not a follow-up, but it is sort of a continuation of the conversation, I guess at least, that Malcolm Gladwell started in his book Outliers. And that is where he made popular, he didn't invent it, but he made popular the idea of the 10,000 hour rule, which basically is that to achieve expert level skill in any endeavor takes 10,000 hours of practice, just to put it very simply. Now, there were a number of things about Gladwell's book that's been argued and debated about with different critics and cognitive scientists and such like that. But regardless of that, Cal Newport, really builds off of that. And he talks about the idea that it's not just practice. In other words, he says 10,000 hours spent doing something the wrong way will not get you to expert level skill. So he introduces the concept of deliberate practice to achieve expert level skill. And then beyond that, he adds the idea of the same sort of deliberate feedback that in order to improve, you know, we have to have that sort of feedback. Actually, this book, Deep Work, and thinking about it in different areas of my life is a lot of what gave me the ideas for what we are currently doing in the Preacher's Program workshop.
Oh, neat. Well, and I think that's been a big help to a lot of guys. So that's neat. Well, mine is completely different than that. I read some books relative to canon last year, and I've read those before, but last year I did read, recommended to me, F.F. Bruce's The Canon of Scripture. I think that it probably is an easier read than Canon Revisited by Michael Kruger, though, you know, you do suffer a little bit of lack of depth because Kruger's book is excellent. But now it's not something I would probably hand a church member and say, here, read this, because it takes a lot of, you know, attention, and you've got to really watch what you're reading. But the canon of scripture is a little bit more of an elementary approach to the subject of how the canon was put together. And it was really good, I thought. I don't agree with every word in it, but Bruce did a good job of laying a foundation if anybody is just interested in canon. You know, there's so much of a debate today over things like, manuscripts and Bible translations and things like that. We're really, I know I've told you this before privately, Jeff, but guys are sort of jumping the gun by having those arguments where they really need to go back and read up on canon first. I think that's the foundational discussion on these other things. And so I've tried to read several books on canon over the year. I'm actually reading one right now, but I won't talk about that this year, maybe next year. But The Canon of Scripture by F.F. Bruce. It's worth your time if you're interested in that subject. All right, Mark, have you settled in on anything in personal improvement, which, again, is just can be about anything that doesn't fit those other categories?
Well, I think that going through a few of these to try to think which was my favorite, of course, we know that our world has seen a bit of turmoil since the pandemic came along. And The Gathering Storm by Moeller is a book that talks about secularism and the culture and the church and so forth, and just giving you a lot of insight onto what's going on in the world and the agenda behind it. And so just trying to understand what's going on in the world from a secular
now, you're a huge Moeller fan anyway, right? You listen to his briefing every day, is that right?
Yeah, almost every day. Yeah, I listen to it, and that's where I got the idea to read the book. It just gives you some insight, because I don't really listen to the news or read the paper or anything like that. So I do get my news, so to speak, from the briefing. So
right. Well, I guess that works through all of our list. I do want to say this year, I didn't read as many books this year as I read in 2019, but just in looking over what I did read, my reading was super productive this year. I read some good books, and I don't know if that was necessarily by design. It probably was not. It just sort of happened. I just ended up reading some really good books. I think I even told you earlier, Jeff, that this was probably the best fiction reading year I ever had. As I look back through just my entertainment reading, it was, I read some really good books this year. But the same is true, on my study, you know, which is obviously the heaviest genre that I read in is something related to scripture. But I just had a really successful year reading, and I'm thankful for, you know, the freedom and ability to be able to read that thing that we take for granted so often. Do you have any general comments about just reading in general, one of you guys?
Well, I would say that it's not, you know, it doesn't really matter the number of books that you read. You know, all those things don't matter. I think it's important that we just be continually reading and challenging ourselves. And certainly from time to time, reading something that, you know, you just really wouldn't read. You know, you'd never think to read, maybe. And so reading in different categories. I noticed that a lot of people on Goodreads, and I'm not knocking it. I mean, they read, but primarily only in one genre of book. And they read a ton of books in one genre. And that's, you know, again, I'm not knocking that, but I'm just saying for me, I could never do that. That would drive me crazy. But
I'll be honest with you. If I'm reading a fiction book, and I usually have something going all the time. It may take me longer to read a fictional book because, you know, other stuff just takes precedent. But if I'm reading something that is fiction, it eases my mind enough that I when I pick that theology book back up, I'm sharp. I mean, it really does help me to read different things.
Oh yeah, different types of material is going to you know, use different parts of your brain. It's going to, you know, it's going to affect you differently, and I think overall it just leads to sharpening your mind and your thinking.
Well, I mean my mind is pretty sharp already, but I'm trying to get it sharper.
Yeah, it's about like the other day when I went to the drawer and I got out a knife to cut off a hunk of cheese, and was thinking, man, this thing is as sharp as Todd Bryant's mind. And then I realized what my problem was, is that I was using the flat of the knife and not even the edge of the blade.
So I felt like there was a steel ball bearing comment coming. Mark, do you have anything just generally you want to sort of close us out in speaking about just about reading in general?
Let me just say that you don't have to read a 600-page novel. Some of the better books that I read this year were really short booklets in the Church Basics series, and getting an understanding of different things is what the book's about. And
you're talking about the Nine Marks Church Basic Church series.
Yep.
Yep.
Just understanding the Lord's Supper, just where the Lord's Supper, their concept is that the Lord's Supper is where the church affirms each other's faith. And when you are allowed to sit at the Lord's table, that the church is saying, we understand that you're walking according to the teaching of Scripture, and we are affirming your faith. Man, that's been so impactful for me and impactful for the church that I pastor. You know, there's so many people that are out there, and they don't have any way to affirm their faith. And so when you take the Lord's Supper and you're saying, we're affirming your faith, that's impactful for people in their lives. So just a little short booklet gave me a huge understanding and helped me, even in the church I pastor.
I found those Nine Marks books on ordinances to just be really rich. I was probably brought up in a group of churches that pretty much just had a list of rules. And as long as you did those things, you're fine. But I think they do a really good job of, it's not that they throw rules out the window. They're very strict on the ordinances, Nine Marks. I don't think there's any question about that, but they do apply them with gospel centrality. And, you know, the practical truths that go along with that. So yeah, Mark, I'll agree. It doesn't have to be a long book. Those little short books, they have been really good. I know, I think the one you're talking about is the one that just, I think the title of it is just Understanding the Lord's Supper. It is a good book. All right, guys. I guess that will do us for this episode. Good Lord willing, 365 days from now, we will try to do another Just Jerry on Books of 2021. This is Just Jerry Live, signing off.